So this morning, if you have your Bibles, I'd like to invite you to open them to the book of John chapter 3. This really pivotal rock of salvation that we have in Jesus as we look at this. You know, this is the first time I've been to Honolulu, and when I get off the plane, I find our station's not on the air. I go downtown, I find the receiver is blown up. They're overnighting us one. We'll be back on the air on Wednesday, but in the years of doing Timory Man and Answer, you know, it's funny that sometimes we get questions, Daryl, myself, and other hosts that I have with me, we'll get questions, and sometimes after the show, I'll talk to Daryl or before, and I'll say, you know, it's funny, you would think people would know that if they went to church. And he goes, yeah, I know, it's funny, what do people hear when they come to church? And I'll tell you, friends, I was at a pastor's conference one time, and many of you know Chuck Smith, and he said, when you teach, teach only the Bible. And somebody put their hand up and said, well, what else would you teach? And he said, a lot of junk. And a lot of junk is being taught in the name of Christ. Well, this morning as we look at this, we're going to find some interesting things out about a guy named Nicodemus. Nick at night, comes to Jesus by night. We're going to talk about that. But just real quickly, I just wanted to tell you, first time I've been to Oahu, and you know, it's kind of funny, you experience all these things, go up to a guy, you say, now let me ask you a question, do you say Hawaii, or you do say Hawaii? And he said, Hawaii. I said, thank you very much. He goes, you're welcome. So, same guy the next day is walking down the beach, and there's a bottle rolling back and forth in the surf. He picks it up, pulls out the cork, and out pops a genie. And the genie says, you know, I'm so grateful you let me out of that bottle. I've been in it for so long. You know, I'm going to grant you a wish. What do you want? Anything you want, I'll grant it for you. And the guy, you know, I really love Hawaii. And being on the mainland, if there was just a road, I could carry some extra gas, and I could just drive from the mainland to Hawaii whenever I wanted to. I want a road. The genie takes a step back. Do you know how much that would cost? The genie says. Do you know how much dirt and engineering and materials and all this that would take to build this that you want, this road? Ask me for something else. Kind of a funky genie, I guess you might say. He said, well, you know, if I can't have that, the next thing I would ask for is, well, I'd really like to understand my wife. I'd really love to understand women. I don't understand them. They just have a different world than I'm in. That's what I want. I want to be able to understand women. The genie looks back at him and says, do you want a two-lane or a four-lane? Let's pray. Father, as we go to your word this morning, we ask you that you would speak to us through it, that you would once again reaffirm to us your commitment to us and why it's important that we see this world through your eyes. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God. No one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Now, we don't know a lot about Nicodemus. We only find primarily what we know about him in the book of John. Now, in John 19, it tells us that after Jesus had died, he brought somewhere around 100 Roman pounds of spices to anoint Jesus' body for burial. We also know in chapter 7, he was a person of the council, and he was a rational man. He said, well, we can't condemn Jesus without a trial. So we know a little bit about him. We know, first of all, to have 100 pounds of spices, he had to be wealthy. Second of all, we find concerning him that he was a person of fairness. We can't condemn Jesus without a trial. The next thing we find out about him, he was a ruler. He wasn't just a Pharisee, he was a ruler. Now, again, we find other rulers in the Bible that came to Jesus. This is not the only one, and it's also interesting. There's another picture story in the Bible about this, about the rich young ruler that came to Jesus. And he came to him wanting to know about eternal life and following Christ. And Jesus said, I'll tell you what you need to do. keep all the law. And he says, all these things this rich young ruler, I've done since I was a youth. And Jesus said, only one thing you lack. I wish Jesus could look at me and say, just one thing you lack. But he looks at this individual, he says, only one thing you lack. Sell what you have, give the money to the poor, come and follow me. The Bible says he went away sad. But what was interesting about him, he was rich, he was young, and he was a ruler. All the things that we think in this life will make us happy. Oh, if I just had more money, if I could just win the lottery, you know, I'd be doing good. He was young. Do you know how much money people spend to be young? You know, it's a really amazing way. We go to our plastic surgeons, they suck it in and they blow it out and they're making us all good looking. I saw something weird here. I just, coming from another place, I saw a tanning salon in Hawaii. I was thinking, I wonder how business is there. But to look good, we want to look good. Nobody wants to get old. Nobody wants to get wrinkly. And we think about this, and he was rich. He was young. And he was a ruler. You know, if I was just the boss, I would tell everybody. Well, Nicodemus had the same kind of thing going on. It says he was a ruler of the Jews. Now, we find also going back to chapter 7 that he was in control. He wasn't just a Pharisee. He was a muckibuck. He was a kahuna. Learning your words. I learned some other words. How many people know what a hodad is? That's a surfer term. I thought everybody would know what a hodad is. I'm in Surf City and I can't. A hodad is somebody that has a surfboard, paddles around on it, doesn't know how to surf, but he impresses the ladies. That's a hodad. Now, I think in the Bible we call them hypocrites. But the Bible tells us, so, ruler of the Jews. This guy was in control. And this man came to Jesus by night. Now, there's a lot of speculation why he came to Jesus by night. One, that's when he punched out on the time clock and went on down to where Jesus was staying. Probably not. Another set thinks that maybe it was that he came by night because of his position with the Sanhedrin, that he came because he didn't want to be spotted talking to Jesus. Others suspect maybe he was a spy and he was going to find out, Jesus, what are you really all about? Sometimes I wonder if he didn't come by night because he couldn't sleep. You ever had things in your life keep you awake at night? The events of the day? You know, again, you look at our society. We got all these things to make us young. We got all these things to wake us up. We have all these things to put us to sleep. Well, you look at this and you realize he came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, teacher. And by the way, this word is like exalted teacher. We know you're a teacher come from God. No one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. By the way, he was an observant fellow. Nicodemus observed. Now, friends, tonight we're going to talk a little bit more about observation. And we're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit works today. You know, the Bible says in the last days, people will have a form of godliness, but they'll deny the power of God. They'll have a religion, but it'll deny the power of God. What is the power of God? Well, in John 16, it tells us what the power of God is, what to look for in a fellowship, in your own personal life, when you're sharing your faith with somebody, what to look for concerning the power of God. Now, the Bible says, Jesus said, it's good that I leave because I will send the power of the Holy Spirit to you. The word in the Greek for power there is the word dunamos, where we get the word dynamo, which means it keeps generating, not dynamite that goes and it's over. God doesn't go in your life and you're done. He keeps generating you and generating you and generating you. And so we're going to talk about that tonight because it's so important, because we find something horrible that has crept into our entire society, and it's called relativism. You know what relativism is? Relativism is sin isn't all that bad. Good isn't all that good. It's how you look at it. And so that's why we have problems even today determining what laws are, because all laws are based upon some form of truth. Well, as we look at this, He said, no one can do the things you do unless God is with him. He noticed what Jesus was doing. He could see what Jesus was about. And it was undeniable. Maybe that's what kept him awake. Maybe because he had a form of religion, but it wasn't really satisfying the soul. You know, there's a lot of empty people in the world today. There's a lot of empty people in church. And why are they empty? Because though they may know about God, they've never experienced the goodness of God. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Man, what a statement. Now, most of us as Christians, we're very familiar with this, but there's something much more I want to point out to you. And if you need salvation here today, the first part of this is for you. If you're a Christian here today, the second part is for you. And here it is. I say to you, unless a man is born again, that's what you need to be if you're not. Why? Because you're in an unregenerated state. You're lost in your sins. Your purpose for living is all messed up. I didn't realize how badly people's lives can get off track or their priorities can get so bad. Until one day, I was at a yard sale. I like going to yard sales. I get tired of looking at my junk. I want to look at everybody else's. So I like going and seeing their junk. Funny story. We were in Maui before we came here for a couple weeks with doing some radio work there. And I was in a store. And while I'm there, this guy is walking down the street. Him and his wife pokes his head, hey, there's a bunch of junk in here we don't need. I thought that's weird, you know, but, you know, you look at this and you realize you can't see the kingdom of God. The purpose that God put us here for comes into focus when we accept Christ as our Savior. Now, what's important about that is this. There's things going on that we don't see. You as a Christian, when we become born again, we enter into an unseen world. It was Plato, not a Christian philosopher. He was a worldly guy. But he said something interesting hundreds of years before Jesus. He said, we live in the shadow of reality. The real world is in the unseen realm. Now, friends, that's why the Bible tells us we battle not against things we see, but against principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. We know the presence of the devil, and we also know that the presence of God. Now, this is, again, what we're going to talk a little bit more about tonight, about the power of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. But the thing is, what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives is open our eyes to what's around us. Now, when we become a Christian, we begin to walk in a different way. And going back to what I was going to say, the whole idea sometimes of the purpose of our life can be wasted if we're not born again. When I was at this yard sale, I remember looking at all the junk and down below, under the table, anything in box, 25 cents. I went, ooh. And I looked in there, and here was a trophy. Actually, there was two. You know, fastest 100-yard dash, whatever. And I thought of the shin splints and the worn-out tennis shoes and all the things that were incorporated in getting that trophy, only to be sold in a box for a quarter. Think about your life. Is that what you want, your life? If you're not a Christian here today, a couple questions. First one is, do you want your life to be worth a quarter at the end of it? Well, when you're dead, you're dead. Well, you know, I don't believe in heaven. I don't believe in hell. I kind of have that old rock and roll song. I swear there is no heaven, and I pray there ain't no hell. Well, you got to ask yourself, well, do you feel lucky? Because if you're wrong, there's a horrible, horrible price to pay for that. Now, when you stop to think, you're put on this earth because God loves you. No one has ever been like you ever before. No one's ever been like you. And no one will ever be like you on this earth ever again. You're unique. I don't know how God can take two eyes, a nose, and a mouth and make us all look different, but he does. That's God. Now, the reason why I think that's important is because we're unique, God wants us to be about his business. Now, The book of Luke tells us in Acts, in him we live, move, exist, and have our being. Like a fish in water, we live in him. Unless a man is born again, he'll not see the kingdom of God. Oftentimes we think, oh, well, this is talking about apple pie in the sweet by and by. No, it's talking about now. To see God's kingdom now and to realize this, you are part of it. You're part of that. And the thing is, we walk in the Spirit. And when we walk in the Spirit, God does what he wants to do through our lives. That's why, if you're not a Christian here today, do you realize what you're robbing yourself of? A lot of people say, well, you know what? I'm going to accept the Lord when I'm on my deathbed. I got all those tubes running in and out of me. Boop, boop, boop. And right before it flatlines, ooh, oh, Jesus, I love you. And Jesus, amen. That's what a lot of people think. Do you realize what you've robbed yourself? A world where you become a Christian and God opens your eyes to the things around you. And when you begin to understand that in the Spirit, in Christ Jesus, we walk in him, we live in him. You know, one of the things that's so amazing, your life, as you become a Christian, you become aware that your life is not an accident. Have you ever had those close encounters of the real kind where someone says, wow, I can't believe you showed up today. And you go, okay, I just showed up. I was sharing in a city park on Sunday night in Twin Falls, Idaho. We have two seasons there, winter and the 4th of July. And it was on that warm summer night, I believe it was, we were together. And what I'd do is I'd get everybody together, And maybe 60, 70 people. And we just count off. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, all the ones get over here. All the twos get over here. All the threes get over here. And we go around the circle like that. And we just break up. And I remember that I would just read a story out of the Bible. And then I would ask, who are you in the story? Or how does it apply to you? And just explain this. And you guys can relate with this. If you're a Christian, you understand this. You won't see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. I was saying, you know, you might be here tonight. And you're getting kicked out of your apartment tomorrow. And all your friends are telling you it's going to be okay, but you know it's not going to be okay. A girl sitting on the hood of her car in the park across, probably from here about halfway out in your parking lot, comes running across going, it's me, it's me. And I'm going, I made that up. And God says, there's more that's going on in your life than you think. The things that you think you're making up are the things where you're seeing the kingdom of God. Friends, if I could impart anything to you this morning, is that you would see the kingdom of God. We may not always see it, but we know we live in it and we experience it. You know how valuable you are to God? Do you know why that when we're going to have an altar call this morning, I'm going to ask for thousands of you to get up out of your chairs and come down here. Okay, brother, do you want to accept the Lord? Yes. Gone. How about you, sister? Gone. No, he leaves us here. Sometimes I know it's hard. The Bible tells us as Christians, we go through a lot of things that are hard. In fact, if you go up to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, of the trouble that came to us when we were in Asia. He said, we were pressed beyond measure and we despaired even of life. Paul the apostle, despairing of life? Friends, that sounds suicidal to me. Yeah, it can get hard, but we have to keep our eyes on the Lord. How do we do that? Well, the gospel message is not what you should be doing. It's what God has done for you. Jesus said again, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Not in heaven someday, nor on this earth someday. Jesus said, be careful when they say the kingdom of God comes within you. When you start seeing that. And again, you know, I use the illustration sometimes of, you ever, you know, all these new flashlights that have come out and you want to put batteries in it, and you don't know how to do it, and you can't get it apart. And finally, you go back, and you read the instruction manual, and it says you push the cap in, then turn. Oh, okay. You push the cap in, boop, out comes the batteries. And you go, I get it. Well, that's what God wants to do for us. Now, again, friends, not in a carnal sense, but in a spiritual sense where we get it. We understand that God has something supernatural he wants to impart to us every day. Do you realize that God is working on people around you every day, co-workers, friends, people you go to school with, every day? And do you know what I found a lot of times in witnessing to people? God has already done the work. All God is looking for somebody that will just give him the invitation. Do you want to accept the Lord? Yes. I didn't have to preach a long sermon to you or anything? Nope. God was already working on their heart. The girl sitting on the hood of the car that come running across, it's me. God, and all I did was just give an invitation to receive Christ. Do you realize that's for every one of us listening today? That there are those around us that are just inside wanting to see the kingdom of God. What are they seeing? Look at what's on television. Look what the course of the world is. The Bible tells us that God wants to do something new in us so that we see the kingdom of God. Not just in heaven someday, friends, but right now. And so Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, it's very clear here that Nicodemus was understanding this whole picture. There's people that improperly read this, and they talk about, well, where Jesus said, unless a man's born of the water and of the Spirit, he'll not enter the kingdom of God. And they're saying, well, being born of the water is baptism. No, that's not what it says. Nicodemus very clearly understands about the first birth. Water breaks, here comes babies. Well, he says this. Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter in the kingdom of God. Now, just as you had a natural birth, you have that birth date, you have a spiritual birth, just this dynamic. Now, you may not know the exact hour, you may not remember the exact day, but you know the time when you trusted Jesus as your Savior. As the Bible says, you confessed him as your Lord and Savior. You accepted what he did for you on the cross. And that's what's so great about God, is that God wrote your name in his book of life. You belong to him now. And God says, okay, turn the lights on. And all of a sudden, we start seeing, first of all, our own life. We see things that don't fit into a Christian's life. Why, you know, it's funny. Why do we do the things we do? You ever wonder, have you ever done that? I have. Have you ever said, I'm never going to do that? And then we find ourselves doing that. We go, boy, are we schizophrenic. Well, here's why. Because the thing is, we don't know ourselves, do we? Because we don't understand who we are. Until we come to Christ, we really don't know who we are. The world is the one that determines or describes to us what we need. You know what? You'll be lovable if you wash your teeth with Shiny Bright. Okay. Or you will be really hip if you drive this kind of car, or you wear these kind of clothes, or whatever. The Bible tells us that we are who we are in Jesus. Our identity is in him. That's who we identify. That's where we get our identity from. The problem today is that every voice is out there bidding for us to listen to. Now, if you listen to the world, you'll find yourself going after the world, but you'll be just like the rich young ruler, you'll be just like Nicodemus, and you'll come to Jesus by night. You won't really be looking at who he is because those things will hold us back. Now, he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel, I said to you, you must be born again. Now, friends, this isn't white sidewall tires on your new car. This isn't, do you want XM radio in your car? No, this is a must. This is a requirement. We must be born again. Why is that? So we'll see the kingdom of God. This morning, I just want to invite you to consider a couple things. One, do you see your life as one that God is prearranging the circumstances in your life to bring you where he wants you to be? Now, I know sometimes the uncomfortability of things in life, we wonder where God is. God, if you really love me, why am I in the mess I'm in? And God says, I arranged this mess to drive you to your knees so that you would call upon me so we could grow together. Friends, I can tell you how many times in my life that I have wondered where God was. And God says, you know, you ever heard the thing of footsteps in the sand? You know, and there were two sets of footprints in the sand. And then all of a sudden, there's only one set of footprints. And I said to God, God, you said you'd always be there for me. And look, there's only one set of footprints. And this is where God looks and says, well, that's when you ran away. The truth of the matter, oftentimes they say, well, that's when I carried you. Well, that's true. But a lot of times we run away. You know, it's funny. The Bible says, I've written these things so you may not stumble. Why is that? Because there's a tendency for us to do that. So we find here that most assuredly I say to you, I promise you this is what Jesus is saying. Don't marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes or where it goes. So is everyone, here it is, who's born of the Spirit. Wow. The Holy Spirit moves us around. Friends, I want to invite you today to sail the winds of the Holy Spirit. Your life will change. You know, somebody said one time, a rut is just a coffin with the ends kicked out. So what we find we need is we need a good, healthy dose of the Holy Spirit in our life. Now, what's the Holy Spirit going to do? Well, you know, your chandeliers are pretty high here to grab onto, to swing on. Nope, that isn't what the Holy Spirit does. What the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life is to move you about those divine appointments. I had a fairly new washing machine. The agitator broke off of the motor part. And I looked at this and I'm going, why? It's brand new. And because I was building a house and I didn't have a chance to install it, the warranty ran out, you know the whole story. I take it apart. I lay it over on its side and I tear it all apart and I see the parts. So I thought, well, I know this guy, he can weld it for me. So I put it in the car and I drive down to the place where he's at. And I said, can you weld this for me? And he goes, yeah, I can weld it for you. And so while he's welding, he goes, you're the pastor of a church out there, aren't you? And I said, yes. No, I didn't say that. I said, yeah. And he said, well, you know, I need somebody to talk to. I got problems at home, and can I talk to you? And I said, well, yeah. And as I carried that part away that was welded, and I put it back in my car, I thought, you know, God, couldn't you just told me to go see him rather than breaking the washing machine? No, I just realized how God uses the circumstances to put us where he wants us to be that normally we would never be. We're led by the Spirit. We see the kingdom of heaven and the Holy Spirit moves us where he wants us to go, where the Holy Spirit has already been working on others. So important to realize. A friend of mine has a ministry down in Lake Havasu City, California. And what he does is for 2 weeks, 3 weeks during spring break, all these kids come in all over the nation to go down where it's warm and they drink and party the whole time. And so what he does is he's got a Christian band out there. He gives the kids pancakes and water. And this is what he does. And what was so amazing is that all this is going on, the partying's going on behind us, and this kid is walking, and he hears the Christian music, and he looks over, and this is what he said, and I was so astounded by it. He goes, I dreamed this. I'm supposed to be here. And he walks up to where they're giving away pancakes, and he goes, Why am I supposed to be here? And brother, it's time you get saved. You know, it's funny. I always thought dreams, especially if you study the book of Acts, and it says that your young men will dream dreams, your old men will see visions. When you stop to think about that, I always thought, well, that's talking about Christians. But you know, if you do an overview of study of dreams in the Old Testament, you'll find as many people that did not love God or know God was getting dreams as those that did. Remember Pharaoh, the seven fat cows and the seven skinny cows? Remember Nebuchadnezzar, who saw the image of gold, the head of gold, shoulders of silver, stomach of brass, legs of iron, feet of iron and clay? That guy wasn't a believer, but God was communicating to him. But then God brought Daniel in to explain to him what he saw. He brought Joseph in to Pharaoh to say the seven fat cows are 7 years of plenty, the seven skinny cows are famine that are going to come. What, Pharaoh, you need to do right now, you need to lay up for yourself some storage bin so you'll have it when the famine comes. You look at this and you realize that God is busy. We oftentimes think God is only busy in the Christian's life. He's got a lost world out here. We're his ambassadors. We're those that will see the kingdom of God, and what is the message that we have? Well, we're running out of time. I don't want to take all this, but I cannot possibly leave this chapter without reading this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. What does a person dying need? Life. What does God offer us? Life. We have life. They don't. I said, Lord, a lot of times when we pray, prayer is a funny thing. Do you ever notice how weird prayer is? Have you ever thought about that much? Prayer is strange. I got saved when I was 5 years old in a church. Genuinely saved. And I've been in church all my life. And I know some of you were raised in the bars and the honky-tonks, and my stories are as weird as yours. And I remember one night at a prayer meeting, this older person was up in front, and we're praying, and she prays out loud, and she says this exact thing. Oh God, did you see the 6 o'clock news tonight? And then evidently, because she was pretty sure he didn't, she told it to him. And then she told him what to do about the 6 o'clock news. Now, praise God for that. I've done that myself. You know, sometimes in our prayers, we'll tell God a bunch of stuff that he already knows. You ever do that? You know, I feel better telling God, casting all your cares upon him. He cares for you. Peter tells us that. So I really feel comfort in doing that. I always feel better when I am able to pray and give it into God's hands. But you know, I found that something really important. When we pray, the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. And I found that if we'll be quiet when we pray, God will speak. In fact, my friend, he always takes a piece of paper and a pencil. And when he goes to pray, he says, I'm just quiet before the Lord. And he goes, you know, it's funny, God will remind me of bills I didn't pay. He'll bring people to my thought processes that I haven't thought of in years, and I'll call them, and they'll call and they'll say, I can't believe you called. I just needed somebody. What I'm saying is, in the Spirit as Christians, that we're moved by his Spirit. You see, there's an unseen world. When we become born again, God puts our focal glasses on so we see in the spirit world. Now, we may not always know what it is, but I can feel it. You know, it's like during a worship song, like we sang this morning, and all of a sudden, there's something in you that wells up, and tears start coming. Well, why are you crying? Was it just a pretty song? No, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit telling you something is going on in your heart. I just want to encourage you today, let the Lord move you around. Just in Jesus' name, get out of your rut. And the things that are really bothering you, the Bible says, give thanks in all things. This is the will of Christ Jesus concerning you. Oh, I have to be reminded of that. I have to be reminded of that when I get a flat on the freeway. I have to be reminded of that when I hear some bad news. But you know what? God is opening doors that normally would never be opened. That's part of being a child of God. And when you belong to Him, this message that God so loved the world, that He provided Himself, that we would be able to not live in the past, but now live in the future. Always remember this. When you look back at your life, the devil will remind you of it. For this reason, Christ died. You look at the cross. When you look forward, look at a risen Savior that's guiding us every day. Again, unless a man is born again, he'll not see the kingdom of God. You see, that's for us in heaven someday, but it's also for right now, that you would know. This morning, if you're not a Christian, my heart goes out to you. Because the Bible says you're an orphan. You don't have a daddy, and you need a daddy. Who's your daddy? You need that. And the Father in heaven that loves us so much sent His only Son to die in our place, that if we would accept what He did for us, believe in Him, and that doesn't mean just acknowledge, that means put all your faith, hope, and trust in Him. The Bible says He will come into our life. And no longer am I manipulated by the world that says, well, if you want to be loved, you'll do this, you'll do that, you'll get loaded, you'll get stoned. If you really want to like yourself, you'll get altered. Now I can just say, okay, God, I'm in you. What a difference. And God opens up that Holy Spirit world to us, and we start seeing through His eyes. This morning, if you're not born again, I want to invite you to come into the kingdom of God. The Bible says we repent. That means we turn away from the foolish way we've lived to define our life. So someday when we get older, we don't look at our life in a box for a quarter. But God says your life is eternal and you've laid up for yourself treasure in heaven. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, we're going to pray right now. If you're a Christian and you started believing the lies of the world again, you start thinking, well, my identity is in Jesus, but, you know, I've just got to have a worldly crutch to prop myself up to make me think I'm something. Listen, you don't need that stuff. You just stay in Jesus. He's the one that makes the difference. If you've never prayed and asked Christ in your life, let's pray right now. Some of you saints, you might want to help Him out. But let's just pray. And you come to the Lord this morning, and you just, the Bible says we repent. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then God will open up your eyes to the world around you. What a beautiful thing God does. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I invite you into my life today. I ask you to forgive me for living my life outside of your love. So from this day forward, I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. I ask you to make me the best I can be for you. And my identity is in you. Thank you for writing my name in your book of life, that I can spend eternity with you. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit. Empower me to live my life for you. And that you would be blessed. And so now I commit my life into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.